To a second season of this here Thriving Moments, brought to you from a ministry onto its own, the Sovereign Light Talk Show, live from Belize in Central America. I am your hostess, Reverend Maria Arvanitidis, and with us here today, a very special guest. Oh, I'm so revved. Are you as excited, folks? Here, Light Star from Sedona, Arizona. Welcome to the show.
Oh, my friend, how are you today?
Oh, thank you very much for having me, Maria. I'm excited to be here and excited to share with all your listeners and everybody out there. Hello, hello. I'm Lightstar for those of you, obviously, that don't know me. And I'm just looking forward to diving into what we end up talking about today.
Folks, this episode is on light language, chakra clearing, and activation with, you guessed it, Lightstar. She is a best-selling oracle cards author and magical dimensions artist for activating and healing through celestial frequencies. She is a visual attunement artist, celestial channel, and starseed ambassador, having an earthly experience. During her childhood, she possessed intuitive abilities as an empath, however, discouraged in her formative years into lockdown mode and when entering the corporate world in the early 1980s. But you know, it wasn't until 2009, after the market crashed, and she found herself out of the boxes to reunite with her inner child again. That strong pull towards Sedona, Arizona in 2010 is where she found herself as Light Star. And this was during a deep meditation depicting a multidimensional embodiment persona. So as a spiritual catalyst, Light Star now aligned with her soul and true path's mission to offer us private sessions for light language chakra clearing. She is here as a guide to activate us through various passageways of frequency that lead us alongside our Mother Earth's ascension process of resurrection. Her visionary art introduces us to other star races, from dragon to angelic, a galactic, elemental, and fairy realms. Lightstar has created her very own magical dimensional creations, these oracle decks, alongside their illustration and channeled messages that she has authored with. As a medical intuitive and pranic clearing specialist with over 20 different dialect light language codes, Lightstar is a visual sacred color rays infuser, verbal and musical acoustic creator that we may find a resonance for activation through our very own unique awakening and integration process back into the oneness of all that is. Lightstar's quote, magic occurs when we merge all roots of our soul, become a torch light of congruence, and unify our creative power for limitless miracles. After all, true healing stems from the willingness to be personally responsible for your own decisions and actions. So welcome to a journey of awakening to our God-given life force energy inheritance with Lightstar, a living art guide, and with her music to invigorate by expanding our horizons into the magical realms of nature. Want to discover your soul origin, your gifts, your life's purpose, and realign to your natural state of being? Facilitator and initiator of light, with her intuitive abilities here with us and her gifts, she shares this channel to with us from her experience and greatest of wisdom, Light Star.
Wow, what an introduction. Who's that?
Oh my gosh, and much, much more. I mean, I couldn't cover it all, so we're gonna dive deep and see how much we can get out of this hour if possible.
Absolutely awesome.
So Lightstar, I noticed you have a lot of certifications, and I tried to wrap my mind around all these and make sense of them, and I thought, well, okay. Well, you have a certified professional career intuitive coach, so you're a medical intuitive, and you're a spiritual channel, and angel practitioner, and, well, a pranic healer, level one practitioner. You're a master of Christology, ordained minister of as a doctor of divinity. You do massages as a Swedish massages practitioner of polarity, and a Reiki practitioner, and educational degrees of naturopathy, traditional naturopathy, and you're a master of science in natural health. And sociology. I mean, that's so much.
These are all, I did a lot of these in my past, obviously, and, you know, through schooling and education. I don't do massage anymore. It's just something I did in my past, but as a massage therapist. But I've covered a lot of the body, mind, and spirit, you know, realms with a lot of different things. I just got interested in so many different aspects of healing and spirituality and growth. And, you know, my bachelor's degree was in sociology, but I did take a lot of psychology type classes because I initially was going in that direction to become a psychologist. That's actually what I was started out in life to aspire to be. And I've gone on so many different diversions from that path, but mostly into the, you know, health, healing, and spirituality area. So, I was one of those people that I just felt like I wanted more, you know, just to learn more, to grow more, to receive more. And I did get a lot of certifications, you know, behind my name, but that's, you know, sometimes I think we feel like we have to get so many of these certifications when ultimately now that I've integrated so much, it's like, I realize I didn't need to go and do all of that. You know, it was like, we try to get so many different things and now it's just a matter of integration. But I really, really, I came from, you know, a background that had, my father was one of the, basically the forefathers of chelation therapy, chelation treatment. And he was a physician, a doctor, and he was very groundbreaking. So I already had some of that, you know, in the holistic health and MD, you know, both background in my background. I tended to go into the more naturopathic route rather than, I didn't, you know, it's not like I'm a physician or a doctor, but I did have some of that from my dad and, you know, influencing that and, you know, just, I was allowed to go wherever I wanted to go in my family. You know, it was kind of just I went, except for the fact that they were telling me to almost go to get a real job, right? That's where I was told, is get your job, and then you can do all your other stuff on the side. That's what a lot of us hear. But I ended up, you know, now in this realm, like in this timeline, you know, when I'm doing what I'm doing now, it's like, I had to realize that I don't have to put that stuff as my just side things. I can actually do that for a full-time living. And that was a big breakthrough, you know, to break through was just the programming from, you know, early on, that you have to do it a certain way, when I'm realizing like, no, that's just what they were believing and that they, you know, initiated, and I was absorbing that, but yet that's not really how I felt. So I had to break through a lot of barriers to that in order to do what I'm doing today, you know, all of doing the artwork and music and all the things that I never thought I would actually be doing. Like, this is just, you know, you just don't know. Sometimes you start off on a path and you don't know where it's going to lead you, but you're being called to just do it, and you go, and that's, you just follow it. And that's kind of where what I've done is just follow it, follow the trails, follow the breadcrumbs in spiritual growth.
Do you come from a large family?
I wouldn't say really large. I have, two brothers and a sister who's informally adopted, kind of. So it's like, not too big of a family, but I do have extended family from we had my parents both, when they were alive. They're both passed on now, but when they were alive, they remarried, and so I have step family and that kind of thing, stepbrothers, stepsisters, expanded family. But it wasn't a huge family. Like, I wouldn't say that was huge. Not to some people have eight kids, that's considered, I think, that's pretty big.
I didn't know that about your father. I thought you were maybe possibly closer to your mother. Because
Yeah.
I'm looking at here at the
I was very close to my mom for sure. She's yeah, I was close to my mom more so than my dad, but I loved, my dad was awesome. He just wasn't as emotionally available. But I understand where he was coming from now. It's just they're passed on. But I definitely my parents were I was very fortunate in a way that I had really great parents. They were just beautiful people. They were very open-minded as well. We were raised Jewish, actually, in religious way, but then after that, even my mom like expanded out into other forms of religion, even just she went and got baptized for Christian after my parents' divorce. She was going through her own difficulty and just trying to figure out who she was, where'd she fit, and so she expanded into that. And so there's just a lot of different religious backgrounds that I was exposed to. My dad was a little bit more aligned with more of the Eastern traditions. So he kind of went more in the, not that he was Buddhist, but he liked that kind of Eastern, philosophy and religious belief systems. And so he kind of did that. But we were really, all of us were allowed to go in our own direction. And we weren't really, shut down to wherever we wanted to go in that belief system. So that's why I got to, I really explored a lot of different types of religions, only to come to my own feeling, more spiritual than religious. That's just, where a lot of us get to that point where we include that, but it's not like I would call it religion. It, for me, it's just more of like the inner spirituality and relationship that you have with creator God or whatever you call it, for everybody's different.
So,
So I've had gotten exposed to all of those different things.
chronologically speaking, were you like the youngest, or where did you fall in that? Was
Yeah, I'm the youngest, except for a stepsister and who's younger now, but like in my blood related family, I was the youngest.
all right. And then, I don't know whether your father passed on first or your mother, but you had some channeled messages from your mother, and you created this white swan
Oh yeah.
bundle. And this is the last thing I was listening to, and haven't really
Yeah.
finished because, I mean, you have so much work that you've done and you put together. So.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing to me. I mean, I think I'm pushing the art images that I've created have got to be at least over, I think I'm probably over 100 by now. It's about over 100 pieces of art. And then, the music is just started in the last few years. But yeah, that White Swan 555 is something very special because I did receive the name from my mom in a dream, as she's passed over now. But I was asking, what should I call this project? And it's solfeggio activations, very powerful. But I created all the layers to them all, and they're all different. And then I had the dream after I asked that, and it was literally my mom in the dream giving me a white swan as a gift. And I was like enamored and just, oh my gosh. And I could just tell in the dream she was super proud. And then I woke up and I was like, oh, white swan, and it's 555 because they're 5 minutes, 55 seconds each. So I had that very powerful connection. And I also had some really interesting downloads of information from my father who passed away. He's the one that passed away in 2012. And then my mom passed away in 2016. But I had some powerful messages coming through from my dad years after he passed that really helped clarify a lot for me on who he was and how he was. And so it was a really big eye-opener. And sometimes we don't get the information in the life that we're living. We don't get it until they're crossed over and then it comes through. But they're really special people. So I was very fortunate to have that and a very, loving family who's doesn't all believe the same things, but we're all very open-minded and respectful of what other people believe, and the belief systems and different things, because I have a very eclectic family.
So you still communicate with them, and they come and visit you in your dreams, and you live another world with them
It's interesting. I personally am not, I'm not one of those people that has to continue talking to them like all the time. I just basically leave it alone, like it's another realm. But I
Yeah.
will say that when my mom passed over, something happened within a year after she passed. Well, I think it was within a year. I can't really remember exactly when, but shortly, it was almost like shortly after, within that year, I received a dream from her at that point, and she actually came in and showed me something very important, because I was very close with my mom, so it was really hard, and I'm very aware of, obviously she's another realm. I know that, and I could communicate in that way. But I also, she came in the dream and said, she showed me these different cords that were attached in different areas of my body to her. And then she showed me my siblings and different cords that were attaching to her. And basically what she was basically saying was, you guys need to let go. You know how we hold on, like parts of ourselves hold on to our loved ones, and we have hard time letting go because we miss them.
Right.
So, but she was saying that it's important for us to release and let go as much as we possibly can. Because there's this feeling of like that we bind our own families, back a little bit, because they're, kind of tied when we have these cords that attach so heavily to them. It sort of binds them too, in a way that they kind of are around us, but they want to go off and do their own thing sometimes, and so we have to release that for them as well as for ourselves. So it was a very powerful revelation. So it's not like I want to continue calling them back, or I don't really do that. I basically just kind of, if I need to, or sometimes I miss them, or on their birthdays, and I'll be like, happy birthday, even though I know they're not here. Or I'll wait for a dream, because typically I will get dream time activation from them. And then I just leave it be. Let them have their own experience wherever they're going in their realms, and whenever it comes in, it comes in. This is how I let it be.
Yeah, the way I see it, this is how we should have relationships with everybody, not to kind of hang on to people, even in this physical that we think is physical reality. Even right now, I'm forming a relationship with you, and it's the engagement and whatever I can possibly pass on to you as much as I can, and whatever you can benefit from it, and just let it go and not expect anything in return, and whatever engagements we have, so that we're not holding each other back.
Yeah, I
And
think the holding on is where, and expectation, those are two things, right? The holding on and the expectations are the two areas of where a lot of people get stuck in relating. And you're right, even the people that are just relating to others here, that are in this physical and body incarnation and having relationships, it's like you can't ex you know there's certain expectations that we all have, and it's like if you go beyond that and start, pulling and tugging and act, like on people, then it's very binding, and they feel
yes.
that. Everyone feels that. Everyone's psychic and emotional and intuitive, and people can feel these things. And I feel that's very, very typical of when someone does release cords, the other person feels it. And that's very much why, if you've heard those stories about when someone does releasing and they let go, of cords they're holding on to. And then all of a sudden that person calls them and they hadn't heard from them in a long time. And, you know, cause they just psychically pick it up and start, you know, so sometimes that happens because they're, everyone's so connected, but we can't hold on to each other so tightly that we don't give everybody room to breathe and room to, you know, be who they are.
It's interesting. So, it's interesting because your mother passed away in 2016. Mine passed away in 2017. And I've seen her, you know, progress in from the clinical situations and whatever she had to deal with to learn before she gets to the next level, which is a younger her.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's awesome. You know, and some of us had to, you know, I had a whole, my whole entire elders, like all the elders in my family are all past now. And they started going like a cascade of crossing over starting in 2012. And then it just was going like every other year from all of my aunts, uncles. So our whole entire elder clan is now crossed over there. So it's interesting because it just went through a cascade of crossing over. But I guess that's just, they were all called home, you know, and a lot of the siblings that, you know, I have are all just like, you know, we call ourselves almost like orphans now, you know, we don't have family. And so it's interesting though, but I think a lot of people are crossing over, you know, and just, you know, that's their time.
That's a whole topic on its own there, like that we can actually get into it. And it's so amazing. A lot of wealth of information that we can share with each other on those things. And now 2012, yes. Let's go a little bit back to 2010. In the corporate world, what exactly were you doing? Life did you live? And can you explain to us what kind of corporate experience?
Yes. I have been in many different sectors in the corporate world, from computers, software, to health and nutrition products, to disaster restoration companies, environmental companies, like you name it. It seems like I've been through all of that. But when I was in Colorado for about 15 years prior to being here in Sedona, so I was in the corporate environment. Most of the time I was there was in the environmental restoration companies, construction companies, and that's where I worked for my full-time job. For the most part, nothing having to do with spirituality or artwork or any of the stuff I'm doing now. It was completely different. And I was doing mostly in marketing. I would say primarily marketing was my function in all these different jobs. And I also worked for a forensic engineering company as well, but it was always in marketing and continuing education. So I helped to set up like continuing education programs for a lot of the clients of the companies I worked for were insurance agents, insurance adjusters, and attorneys. So those are kind of the genre of people that we were working with. And it's just, it was a completely different world. It really was. And yet I liked what I was doing. I mean, I got to do a lot of event planning. That's one of my jobs. I wore like 10 hats in these different jobs and these different companies. But interestingly enough, it was kind of my title in a lot of these places. When I moved up, I started out just like, you know, admin assistant and moved all the way up into the corporate world. And I ended up being a creative services director, which they didn't even have in that, in those companies. That just wasn't even a thing. I sort of paved my own path with my own title even. And that was something really unique too. I felt like it was kind of a pioneer in that area because, you know, when I left the company, it's like now, you know, they started and everybody had the creative services in their departments then from those types of companies. So it was kind of a trailblazing type of thing. But it was really good. I had a great experience working with them. It taught me a lot. I worked really hard, very hard. It was not a think I'm working harder working for myself now. I work a lot more because I'm always working. But even then I worked a lot, and even on weekends with events and planning and, you know, marketing and all the different things that I did. But it was just a totally different world. And I just knew, that's what I said in 2009, that's when I was getting the, you need to move on. You need to do something else. I was getting intuition to do that. And I finally had the job, because that was when everyone was losing their jobs around that time. And I was still hanging on. But I was getting the impression I needed to move on a year prior to it actually leaving my job. And, but I was still hanging on, you know, I didn't want to let go. And so when I finally did let go, or they let me go, and then I let go. So that's kind of how it happened. So when I did lose the job, that's when I really started searching, like, okay, it's time for me to put some of this stuff to use, right? I had all these certifications that I had gotten, and I'm just like, you know, or getting, you know, in the process of while I was going to working full time, I was also going to school and, you know, at nights, and I was doing different things to get all these, but I didn't really know what I was going to do with all of them. Initially, I was starting out thinking I was going to go in the naturopathic route and, you know, do that kind of work, whether wellness coaching or something like that. And like I said, just things diverted into another area for me. And so I ended up here in Sedona first, just thinking I was only going to stay here about 6 months just to do some healing work on myself. And then I ended up being, now it's almost 15 years. I think we're at 14 years now here. And that was kind of like unexpected. I didn't expect to stay, but then when I did, it was like everything started to unfold. And so all of the intuition that I've had that I locked away into a little door and, you know, didn't have the key, supposedly didn't think I had the key. Now I was like unlocking that door, pulling out all of the, you know, intuition and gifts that I had in some of the graphic design that I had started doing in corporate, but that now just blossomed and just flowered into a whole different thing with the spirituality and, you know, metaphysical stuff. And then I was doing readings, Oracle readings in Uptown in Sedona, and thought I would never do that. Like I never didn't even want to do that initially. Like that's not even where I thought I was going to go. But then I did that and I got some really good experience in a store, you know, in Uptown doing readings and all of that, until I got to the point where I was like, I kind of just want to go on my own, you know, cause I'm sort of independent that way. But I, ended up doing that and then flowering into the starseed world, where I started to create a lot of different starseed images in my art, which just exploded into, you know, this whole realm. And a lot of those are in my celestial frequencies oracle decks. So the first one was the Magical Dimensions oracle deck, and now it's in second edition, but it's that all of my artwork started to naturally feel like they needed to go into an oracle deck. And so that's when I started to really create those, and a fun experience to create those. And so all of these things that I'm talking about, and the music really started to unfold in the last few years. My light language activations have really always been there since I was 9, but I didn't know that was, you know, was doing that at 9, but that's what it was. And then it, I'd say probably about a whole bunch of languages unlocked for me in about a 2-week period in Sedona, a couple of years after I was here. And then a whole bunch of new just downloads started coming in. And I just was like overwhelmed at first, but then I integrated all these different languages and what they were from and where they were from and how they were helping, you know, and what they were to do. And that's how I developed my session work, really, using my starseed alignment sessions, different kinds of sessions. And so everything just kind of came out from all of that, sort of poured out into this realm.
real trendsetter.
I think we all end up using the gifts that we have and things that we learn early on, though, because I would still say that I actually utilize those skill sets that I learned in corporate. I still use all of those. I always call this, I'm able to create on command because of that. And I know it may sound strange, like, what's that mean? But I'm able to create, like, almost pretty much any time, like, emotionally, if I'm a little bit down, or you know how emotionally people go, like, I can't create because I just am in the space. Well, it's like, I'm really good at compartmentalizing that and putting it off here and then just go. So, and I feel like I learned some of it is just who I am, but I do feel like I learned a lot of that because I had to deal with a lot of that with corporate world, you know, where you just had to, like, you don't have time to, like, just, you know, be in a space of like, oh, I don't feel like doing that, or I can't do that right now. It's like, no, you just got to put all that off to the side and then just you're in your mode, you know, of work or creation or whatever. So I'm able to do that pretty well. And, but I still use those skill sets, you know, and to this day, they do help. Cause I've sometimes look back and go, what was that all for? But now it's like, well, it's part of the process. You know, and when I had that spiritual awakening, you know, I was like, well, I still want to utilize the skills that I have and all the things of my past, but yet I feel like I'm doing something new with it all. And then what does that look like? And then how do you go about that? And sometimes you don't know, right? So some people like want to know, like, how do I get on my path? How do I do my journey? How do I do that? It's like, or how do I do my purpose? A lot of times you're not going to know exactly what it is. You have to step into the beginning stages of it, which are always the unknown and always the what is calling to you. And then what do you want to do? These are two different things. What do you feel like? What are you passionate about? What do you want to do? And then what are you called to do? Those are two different things, but that is essentially the two components of your purpose. And so when you merge these two and you step forward and you just say, what do I feel is on my plate today? Where am I going to step forward next? You don't know exactly, but you're just guided to do one thing or do this thing or try that thing or, you know, and then surely enough, after you do that, you get a mosaic and you start building the quilt of your life. And everything just starts to come together and the puzzle pieces start to form and the pattern starts creating. And that's, you finally get the quilt finished and you maybe start another quilt, but you get these little mosaic pieces. And that's kind of what's happened to me. But I've also seen this, what's happening to other people on this path, trying to figure out their journey and what they're supposed to do here. Right. And that changes. So it's not always going to stay the same. You may do it for a period of time and then something else shifts and you want to do something else. That happens a lot.
How did you get, who taught you how to do this? The light language that I'm noticing is also like sigils. It's like,
Yes. The writing the symbols and the codes, that wasn't really taught. I just kind of started to do that. And, It just something that developed from, I was, you know, starting to speak the languages and starting to identify the different ones. And then the codes started to come in. And I do remember how it started though. This one time I went to, I was at a coffee shop here with my beloved Stanislav Bear, my partner. And we were at a coffee shop and there was a girl that was standing there talking to us. And it was like, literally, I saw all these codes above her head and they were coming in like, right, these codes, like the little symbols and little things. And I was like, what is that? And I started to even draw it on a napkin that was just right in front of me, just kind of like, well, that's interesting. This looks like that. And then that actually developed into my energetic signature, I call it my energetic signature light code art that I actually do. It's a custom art session for someone where I'm seeing the codes and symbols, and then I bring it down into a visual of what's actually around that person or what's coming in for that person. and their little energy packets that they unlock. So I found a lot of times people have these, everybody has these, and yet you're not aware of them. Maybe they're just hanging out up there and they haven't been opened up. It's almost like a gift that you haven't opened yet. And it's just sitting there waiting for you. So I started to bring that through and then started to draw them and hand draw them. And then they were starting to come into my artwork. As you can see, this is the 963 Hertz oneness code that we were talking about, oneness you mentioned earlier. I'm like, oh, well, this is perfect because I have the oneness code here.
Synchronicity.
So yeah, that was like perfect. And so that's kind of where I started to draw these little codes and symbols, and the light languages came through for different. Some of them relate to maybe some of the star images, and some of them are just coded into the art. And it's just another way of activating, because I feel like I'm the spiritual catalyst that is bringing through, and the facilitator bringing through activation through art and music and color and sound, and also through light language and through codes and symbols. And that's how they were coming through as well. And all of the things I bring through are really coming from other realms that are also around us and that are real realms that I bring through, because a lot of people will, I've had so many people say, like, there's a couple images especially, they'll be like, oh my God, I've been there. I've been to that place or that spot or something, like meditated here or whatever. And they feel like they know that spot. And so the one example is my Atlantean libraries, which is a panoramic image of the underground, underwater libraries. A lot of people have been there, so they get it. They're like, oh my God. Like, but I had dreams about that when I was a kid. So I had to create that Atlantean libraries because that was what was coming through. And finally, I had a chance to create it. It has all the codes and symbols in there, as well as just the underwater portal of the libraries that I was kind of seeing, like almost like the tunnel libraries. And so much of the work that I do is it's fantasy in some ways. We call it fantasy visionary because, you know, that's what it looks like, but it's got real codes and real beings and real connections and awakenings and all of that that goes through the art.
Like, how do you even slow it down? Because when I see, and a lot of people see those images, it's in their dream state, their lucid state. So it's like so fast, but
yes,
so intense and so alive, not like this here, but it's slower, right?
And yeah.
How do you slow it down? Because that's what your conscious state is. You have to be able to slow it down. Like, you know, like a car accident before it happened, you see everything is like in slow motion.
Slow motion.
You know, it's amazing. But how do we do that? It's amazing.
That's a really good question, because I feel like there's a couple different things with that. When it's in your dream state, like if you people have dreams about certain things, sometimes you wake up and you just, or you're, you know, wake up in the middle of the night and then you hand draw it, because that's a good thing to do so that you don't forget about those things. You know, you hand draw it. You get a little journal and you start, I did that many times where I just start doing little squiggles and then I go back to bed and then I wake up in the morning so that I didn't forget what I actually got. Or you record it. You know, another thing, you take your recordings and you just record it and then you can, like, describing it, and then you can kind of get it lift off from it. But if you're not doing, if it's not coming through dream time and it's just so fast, or if it's like, you know, in meditation, same thing though, you can stop yourself and do a little hand drawing. But generally speaking with my work, if I'm not, you know, if it wasn't something I saw in a dream, it's just something I'm bringing through, I tend to open the channel and I allow what comes in. So if it's coming in really fast, I don't slow it down. That's the thing. I let it come just as fast as it is supposed to come. And then I know that, well, I know that when I'm creating, it's going to go slower because I can't go that lightning speed fast, right?
Okay.
But I'm also letting the information, it's like those little codes that I was telling you about. You let it come in and let it come in as it's supposed to come in. And then you can start to like, okay, this piece goes here, this piece goes here. And so I'm kind of working like that when I'm like channeling while I'm doing my art, you know, and like most artists, I think would say they probably channel the stuff. Not maybe not everybody, but I know I do, you know, it's just channeling through it. So I've been told by my higher self, which is where all of this comes through from my guides above that, it always comes through my higher self. And then my higher self's like, okay, that, this, that, no. And then if I make a mistake and I think it's wrong, I'll like start changing it. And something will happen where it'll be like it reverts back to what it did. I do many, many times. And I go, okay, I get the message. It's supposed to be like that. And
So
you leave it alone.
how do you know the difference between something that is a prediction or something that you're actually creating?
Well, I think all of it, since I feel that past, present, and future all happens at one time. Ultimately, I know that many of us can't wrap our heads around that because it's kind of like, whoa, how do you? But if that's the case, which I feel really is, it's just that we're more conscious of this very moment, right? We're not conscious always of everything else. But that's why all of it really is happening in the moment. But it may look like something hasn't happened yet, or maybe it's not happening yet, or you know what I mean? Like we may seem that way, but it's really all in the moment. So all of it really is that. But I have had a lot of things that come through in dream time that are premonitions, things like that, that actually do come to pass in the linear time. And many people have that. So you kind of know by like, okay, well, you know, you have this sort of dream time or whatever thing that's coming through. And especially if it's something that's prediction oriented, or you know, you think it's maybe something that hasn't happened yet, or you don't even know, and then you see it happen, you know, then you can go back and say, okay, well, that was all happening in the moment. It's just that my separated that because I wasn't aware of it happening now until it actually came and happened, and then I saw it. So that's kind of a complicated question, I think, because there's so many variances to that and so many nuances to it, but I think you can usually tell the difference by way of after the fact. Sometimes it's not always in the beginning. You know, I used to have a lot of premonitions, dream time that I didn't even know were actual like psychic dreams until they happened. And then you go back and go, well, okay, that's something that happened, you know? And so then you piece it together, especially with those kind of things that are happening, or premonitions that people get even just waking state. But I've had it happen so many times and now pieced it together later on that I just know, okay, you know, energetically, that may be something that could potentially happen. And you know, and you have to like go with your own intuition with these things too, but it's practice. It's so much, you know, it's practice with your own energy. Everybody's different. Everyone receives information differently.
Like,
Some
is it your
people.
fault? Sometimes I feel like, is it my fault that this happened? Am I responsible for this? Or did I create this? Or am I channeling this? Or what? You know?
We're all creating our own reality, right? We're all creating this reality anyway. Like everything we do, everything we think, especially in your thoughts, you are creating your reality that will eventually show up in this realm. And then, you know, and that's what I'm thinking by like people manifesting and manifesting certain things may have happened over a period of years of the thought processes manifesting over time, over time, over time, over time. And you don't really see it till 3 years later or whatever. And then you finally go, oh my gosh, you know, wow, I can see now what I was thinking. And that takes quite a bit of awareness for you to go back. And I'm constantly saying that to people, my clients too, where I'll be like, okay, what was happening a few years prior to whatever the thing is that you're saying now that you created that you didn't want to create, or what was happening in those few years prior though?
We can go on and on because I love what you have to say. Everything that comes out of your mouth is gold, okay? It's like gold, little sprinkles and gold.
Little sparkles of gold.
So is it possible you can give us a sample of your light language and I would really love that.
Awesome. Well, we're going to be going through, I know that this is it's probably coming out after the solar eclipse, right? The total solar eclipse, which is happening. And that's a big thing, but energetically, I feel like, cause that goes on for quite some time anyways, for us integrating it. And we're going into a lot of uncharted territory and a lot of change and transformation for everybody. So I feel like I was just guided right now to bring through a couple of different languages that can help to integrate all of the transition and change and upheaval. Okay. That's just what I'm guided to do right now. So what I always like to say to people is just put your mind off to the side. Don't try to figure it out with your analytical mind. Just kind of feel with your body sense. That's what light language is, an energetic language. And so that's what I'm going to do. Okay. So everybody take a nice deep breath in. Ratir harnir atiri rukurushte arandaria rashtarieria urubokrosh naritesa Ruktir atir aran dariasto rukurishea. Umayite sahir hair adisha rukuri rarasan surbi ardishti ari hari hari. Urukurashti ale turnea aniatarasu rukuraitas. Urmari are aran di herare shokrukura kitaren. Urubareshe, usai tarnira karakite, urupokraya shnara had. Unejishikrigatrea, so ungish could go to get shun, no greater got conducti, to go to go to no shog near Krias Kotgurti, her matkatish kotgurun, the radio to Gurush, Rubatkatish, Urubatkatish got the indergotum, her kotgurum, she tara, Urukatish green, Uskatigatish get at hand out to go to Gurush or Hamatakat hoof. And if you breathe in, these are codes that will help to integrate, to balance out all the change and transition and transformation that is about to or is happening for all of you. And just allowing that integration process to occur in your life, however it needs to appear or show up for you. And just allow yourself to breathe in the energy of frequency of your own inner field, balancing and reharmonizing and grounding in so that you can be like the mighty oak and the tree, the solid roots in the ground.
Thank you so very much.
So that was a little bit of Lyran sprinkled with some of my own mother tongue. I call it my mother tongue, which is a very integrative language. So it was kind of bringing in sort of that, transitional change energy, but also integrating codes as well. So it was a little bit of there's so many different languages that come through certain times, but I was just getting that the Lyran, Lyrans have been through a lot. So they're pretty resilient and they know resilience very well. And that's actually the card, one of my cards is called resilience for the Lyran Genesis activation image that I create. So I felt like that one was very important to bring through and then tie it in a little bit with some of my own mother tongue integrative language. So,
Are you a native of like First Nations? You have any of that in your lineage?
I don't really know what my, I mean, never had any of the family that stuff done, like, those DNA tests or any of that to really know. I do know that I've had past lives as in Native, several different lifetimes in Native way and Native world. But as far as this goes, I don't really even know all of the, like, where you come from kind of thing. We just really never had that done with our family tree. The only one I do know it on my side is Russian. Like, that's all we know.
Okay,
So,
okay. So,
yeah.
like a star seed ambassador, then it means like all the different from the galaxy or like galactic or like.
Yeah, the Starseed Ambassador. Actually, it's funny. I have a new image that I just created called Ambassadorship because it's actually honing in on the harnessing of the ambassador energies, which is kind of like, if you think about it in our world here, what ambassador is, it's like the diplomat, right? The one that actually goes out, connects with different people. But that actually is very limiting. When we're talking about anyone can be an ambassador of healing, ambassador of artwork, the ambassador of counseling, and about there's so many whatever you do, like in life, it's just a matter of how you're bringing that through and able to communicate it, share it, and bring people together, right? And to help heal. So I think that that term just kind of goes a little bit broader because it's not just star seed.
Are you explaining to me right now one of your courses that you're offering as ambassadorship?
Oh,
Can you like expand on that and
I
some
don't know. Maybe I will at some point. Maybe that's something I should do. I haven't actually done that. I mean, I am putting a membership and course platform together right now and building that. So there's courses that are going to go over there for that, but some of it is going to be Starseed course that I taught with a few different ladies already, and that content's going over there. About and there's a lot of content in that that has to do with starseed and many different ways and aspects, but I like to bring other types of I want to bring other types of content to it as well, and not just with starseed only, because I think that we're broader, because I feel like I want to integrate, there's people's angelic aspects, there's elemental aspects, and there's starseed and galactic, and then there's the earth realm or the more Terran, there's all different kinds of people that are integrating different things. So I don't like to focus just on one, but I have had quite a bit of just starseed coming to me for my sessions and different things like that, just by the nature of the information that I bring through and helping people with the ambassador codes, really to integrate them into their own career. And their own purpose and what they're bringing, and how to bring that through in their own way, whether it is healing or science or, art, music, whatever. So yeah, but that could be a course in and of itself.
So that's
Absolutely.
something in the future. I mean,
Yeah.
for now, if you'd like to. But every time I look at your lightstarcreations.com, you always have something refreshing, something new. It's like, how did you come up with this all of a sudden? Like so like quickly, and it's just like magical. It's like it just appeared, and they're like beautiful artwork. And I want to ask you, do you have some kind of digital software that you program as you're a computer programmer or something like that? How is it that you do this artwork?
Well, I do create the codes that are in my art are hand drawn in digitally, but they're hand drawn, and then I make them, into the digital art. The art itself is created in many different forms, but I do use it's digital art, so I am using digital software. Like I use Photoshop, I use Illustrator, I use primarily those two, and then the hand drawn, and then I weave it together in. So my canvas is more digital than a, like a canvas. But I so many different components that go into creating the art. It's like pieces, little pieces of it's like a mosaic. I mean, that's kind of how I'm like creating it, is just this, a little that, just the like little and then bringing it all together. So it's very, I would say it's complicated, but it's not. It's just that it's more digitally based, but some of it is the hand drawn.
Of course, you know this might end up becoming two episodes, okay? So it's
That's
okay.
fine.
It's so worth it. And thank you so much for your time. But you know, I still want to bring up this, what drew me to you, what attracted me to you. And it started with a YouTube, like, you know, I like to get my readings every day and all this stuff and seasonal. And I do also tarot cards. And I was looking around for a new deck. I want something spicy. I want something new. I want something that will be able to fit in my womanly hands. Because everything, it seems, it's so traditional. The traditional ones are actually made for men, but I don't see too many men who actually do card reading. So why don't we kind of, I don't know, could you help me out here? I'd like to get a deck, but I'd like to get something that would fit more like my hands so I could be able to shuffle properly and get proper reading so, you know, it doesn't fly all
You
over
know,
the
it's
place.
funny. I have small hands myself. I have almost like smaller hands for my size. They're almost called paws rather than hands. I feel like my hands are smaller than they should be. So I do get the fact of, you know, not having these big giant cards that you can't shuffle. I have mine are like, you know, they're pretty normal size. I mean, this is the size of them, so they're not terribly big. They're not the small tarots, though. They're like tarot cards are a lot of times very small, but these are kind of, you know, your general good size, that aren't too big, and they're easy to shuffle.
Is
And
there
mine
anything
are,
to the shuffling? That's what, is there a certain way that you need to, that I need to learn?
well, some of it is stop. Some people like to shuffle like this, you know, where they just shuffle like that. I can't. Well, I have these two decks together right now, so it's a lot bigger because that's how I use my decks, is I put them together because I
Okay.
have the silver and gold energies. But
Beautiful.
some people like to do that. Well, they're even too big for me to do that. Like, because look, I mean, I can't really shuffle like that because my hands are too small. So those people that have like large hands can do that, but those of us that have small hands, probably not
Yes.
going to be. You can do it, but it's like it's kind of awkward and stuff. So I generally don't, and I don't generally, I personally don't, I don't shuffle my cards like how you'd normally shuffle like a deck of cards like that. I don't shuffle them like that either. So personally, I'm very visual. So a lot of times what I do, I get them on a table and I just fan them out in front of me. And then I will energetically pick, you know, visually or by feeling of what cards. That's how I do it. And then and I'm just generally shuffling like this sometimes, you know, I just do it like this. I'm not, and then sometimes I'll go like this, where I'll take the cards and I'll put them, you can't see, but I'll put them on a table and I'll split the deck, you know, into half, and I'll just keep I don't know what that's called actually, but you like take that and then you put this on top, and then you put the other one on top, and you just keep stacking them so that it shuffles them that way. That's how I do it when, like, I'm like you, where I don't have the big, you know,
Okay,
hands to
so
shuffle.
what I found is getting buying actually used cards, and they're already like it, more flexible and they're easier.
Well, it depends on the cards that you get. Some of them are like mine are very slippery because it's they're very they have a double laminate, so they're very easy. Some of them are more like they'll stick together because they're not very slippery, so it's harder to shuffle them. So I think it does depend on the kind of cards that you get. But used cards, yeah, that could that you would be able to like work them in, you know, a little bit more, or they've already been
Yes.
worked in.
So that's what I start looking for, but where I'm at right now, they don't even have any stores or anything. And what I really like, I really want to get one of yours.
Oh yeah, you've got to get mine. They're awesome. The Celestial Frequencies and the Magical Dimensions Second Edition. But like I said, I blend them together, but you don't have to. You can use them separately. It makes a bigger deck, obviously, but I do blend mine together. And, you know, I do have a different way of shuffling than probably the most people out there that can just, you know, do all these crazy things with the cards, but I can't do that. So I don't do it like that.
By the time they become really used, I go on to another deck. I started out with the Ring of Virtue initially, but then I got these used dragon cards. And they're so amazing. When I was
Oh, yeah.
in Timmins, Northern Ontario, it's a gold mining town. And I went in there and they said, oh yeah, okay. And they just, it was, they were there. But since then, I haven't, nothing has really resonated.
Yeah.
And then it, all of a sudden it was like, you started talking on your YouTube channels about sovereignty. And I said, that's it. I have to talk to this woman. I really have to, you know, see if she, what she can do for me, because I want to get a deck, but I want, if you can, maybe on your next ones or whatever, make them, you know, like, you know, for women.
Well, I think that partially is I don't have the, I don't have complete, since mine are going through a, I go through a traditional publisher for mine. So sometimes it's up to them making them. But for me, I won't make mine smaller only because I already have like the codes in here are pretty hard to see. So if it goes really small, it will go like really small and you won't be able to see it. So I don't know if this kind of deck that I would do, you know, smaller, but there may be another kind of deck that I do in the future that is like a small deck that's not as detailed like with the art, where maybe it's something else where it can go smaller and I can do that. I mean, I personally thought about doing the third one. I thought about going larger on the art because, well, I know not for you, but I've seen some just because my artwork is so amazing that I wanted them to be art. And I've seen a couple of decks that have larger. I would probably ask people if they would want that before I would do it, but
yes,
I don't know. It's either going to be the same because these two decks are meant to kind of work together. I'm not sure if the third one I'm working on will be a separate, totally separate deck. But, you know, and it won't necessarily be the tie-in with these. But I have been, it's going to be years before I finish because I'm not even, I'm about halfway maybe for doing the images, you know, to the third deck that I'm going to create. It's not like... there's some of these people out there that can spit out so many oracle decks or tarot decks because they aren't the actual artists doing it and they are hiring an artist to do it. So for me, being the creator of all of it, the artist, the author, the everything, you know, it takes a lot longer to, for me, you know, just trying to make a living and then create these things on the side, you know, also. So it takes a little bit longer. But it's going to be a couple of years yet. So I've got plenty of time to ask people, you know, what they would want or, you know, that kind of thing. But I have toyed around with doing a smaller size, but it wouldn't be this kind of art. It would be something else.
So what,
and that's something that may be on the horizon.
What kind of light infusions is this that that you put into it? Is it like some kind of monad that people resonate to? Is it like...
The energy of the art, of the energy that goes into my art is pretty much like all, a lot of the images are already like, they're very living images. They're live because their energies are live. They're real beings. They're real places. They have the activations in the codes within them. You know, they're just looking at my playful card right here with the fairies. If you like fairies. But it's like, these are real, like the images have the light encodement in them. They have the energies of the beings. They have the energies of the places. And that really retains. I always say people should clear their decks when they get them because other people have handled them. They've been printed, right? So there's a lot of things that are going on. But the actual energy themselves of the art, it's like they're living codes, living beings, living... And they will help to, they help people to tap into and work with their own guides and their own higher self and their star friends and elementals and the beings and angels that are around them. It will actually connect them even more because of this energetic frequency. I've heard many times because my deck is a digital art, but it's also very high frequency. So it's not just like, you know, spitting out digital stuff. It's really high energy and high frequency. And the way that I put my deck, my oracle decks together is you can use them as oracle readings for clients, but you can also use them as activator. And these are activator spreads. So you could lay them out on your altar space with crystals and candles and whatever else you want to place in there. Some of them do healing, the spreads that I have in there, or they call them activators. Some of them do more healing for people. Some of them will do more like the money tree, can help you to get abundance, relationship healing, like all different kinds of things. And there you lay the cards in a certain array and you can actively use them as like grids. You know, these are like gridular layouts. So there's a lot of different things you can do with my deck other than just oracle readings. So that's why I always say sometimes it's good to have two of the decks so that if you're doing oracle readings with one, then you can take the other one and make a complete array of a grid layout and put your activations on them and leave it there for like whatever, however long you feel. And then you can use your other deck for that. So that's kind of a little unique feature about mine that's a little different than just your standard everyday, you know, oracle or tarot reading or decks.
What is the difference between like the $44 one and where does somebody start? Like, do they get like, what is in the package? Like the same?
Well, they're both the same price. Mm-hmm. So unless you're on, if you're on some other site, you know, it might be different, but I know on my site, they're both, $44, which includes the shipping. And then if internationally though, it's different because I have to pay a lot for international shipping. So if it's somebody buying my site, my decks on my site, then it's, I forgot 70 something. I think it's 75 to actually send it to, internationally, you know, with the shipping and everything. But, so you get, basically you get all the cards, obviously the 44, one of them has 55 cards because the Magical Dimensions second edition, I've added 11 cards into that deck from the first edition. So that one has 55 cards, mm-hmm. and then the Celestial Frequencies has 44 cards in them. But you would get like a whole package, like the cards itself would obviously come, and they come in a big box. That's another reason why the shipping's a little more, because these are the size boxes that they come in. So it's pretty large and they open up. So you get the full booklet, and the symbols inside of there are actually connected to cleansing the deck. So you would, this cleanses the whole deck. If you want to keep it, your cards in here, that's what I built into this one.
Oh, look, and then, the
and then your cards would go in there. Mine are out of the box right now because
oh, wow.
I actually, this one has a little dragon symbol on the inside, but that's where your cards would go. And then you would have the full booklet, which is this one goes this direction because the other one goes the other direction. I'll show you in a minute. But this one has its full color. So you got like...
How many pages are there?
This one, well, let's see. This one is about 94 pages, okay. This particular one. But it's full color. So you're getting like all of the images in here, full color.
Wow.
And it has all the, you know, each card has a description and also has a celestial interpretation and an oracle interpretation and some companion crystals and companion essential oils that I list in here that also, this one has that as well. Amazing. And so that's kind of cool. It has a lot of, here's some of the layouts, like I said, different spreads, different layouts, different healer, you know, kind of spreads. These are like some of the activator grids. And so there's all sorts of good stuff in there about how to lay them out, what layouts. And then on the Celestial Frequencies, it's kind of the same where you have, this is what that one looks like though.
Yes, that's what I was looking
at. Yeah, this one's got a lot of, this is where it has the one that has all the codes in it, all the star people in it, all the healing, this one behind me, the healing codes, the healing shields. And that one also has that one's also the symbol to cleanse the deck. So that one, you don't have to keep it in the box, but if you do, that's already in there. It's already built in.
Is this your first one?
Start out with? No, I would, well, yes. And yes and no, depending on what you want. I mean, I created it. The Magical Dimensions is kind of like that's maybe the one to start out with, but there's a lot of times people like all the codes and the new stuff and the galactic stuff. And then I would say this one,
okay.
You know, cause this one has more of the galactic, more of the codes in it. And I would suggest this one, even though this one is probably like the starter one, if you would.
Okay, that's what I wanted to know.
Yeah, but it doesn't have as much of the codes and the symbols and there's, you know, not really like series of galactics in there. But it's a good one for like the elemental realms, some angel realms of the elemental realms, the magical realms kind of place. And then this one is the one with all of the different codes and symbols. And this booklet has, I think this one is about, Yeah, this one's longer. It's 141 pages. There's a little more information in here because there's a little more, but it goes this way.
Yes, I like
so it
that.
Goes this way.
Okay.
And so this one has all, again, it's a little more on the intermediate side of things, how you use it, like the different codes. And each one has a separate little thing on the bottom
like
where
that
it's got
one.
like,
Yeah.
This is Arcturian. And this one, each one of them has little symbols on the bottom, and they're explained in the book as well of what those mean. So there's more, a little more information in this one as far as that goes, but still you've got your layouts and all your different spreads. Some of them are kind of intricate, a little more of the intricate spreads that you have. And it goes this way. Celestial timelining, sequencing spread. There's just so much stuff in here. This is almost like a, you know, it is a booklet that has a lot of information, you know, and how to use them, how to work with them on the spreads. And I love that, the centerpiece. So it's just gorgeous. As you can see, it's very shiny. So like the paper is really good quality. It's really high end, really good quality. It smells good.
Can
Can
you tell
smell
me
it.
Here, it says $44 to $225. Is just the $44 just for the
Well, you can get, if you're just getting one by itself and you're in the United States and you're shipping to the United States,
okay.
It's going to be 44 for one. I do have on my website a bulk set where you can get both of them. And then obviously it's going to be more, you know, because you're getting them two together.
Okay.
And then if it's international shipping is more expensive, so you're going to pay more, but there's, you know, there's little drop down menu on each of them that says, you know, if you're shipping, you know, one deck international or one deck, you know, or two decks you want.
So what do I get for $44? Do I get that one deck with a book?
Whichever one you want. Yeah, it comes with the whole thing. Like you would get, it depends. Like if you want this one, then you would get this whole packet, this whole thing, the box,
for
the guidebook,
$44.
And the 44 cards in there.
Okay.
Yes. Unless you're, but see, you're shipping, it would be shipping to Belize, right?
Yeah,
so
but
it's,
of course, it's going to cost more.
Yeah. So there's a drop down menu on there for the, there's the $44. That's just for USA. Okay.
Oh,
That's for shipping.
Okay.
I believe if you're shipping it out, it's going to be like 75. If I'm off the top of my head, I don't remember, but I believe it's 75 for like the international shipping one deck, I believe, because I get charged a lot for that.
Well, Belize is like so expensive for everything, and I would
I
have
know.
To
Well, it's expensive to ship everywhere, and it's really hard because I end up really, you know, I probably lose money on the shipping anyway. But you know, I can't. When people buy it online elsewhere, you probably can get it. I don't get anything for that. So some people like to just, you know, support the artist, right? Well, that's only the only way I really get anything from that is to do it on my website. It's just that international shippers. Or purchasers, I get it. It's going to cost more, you know? So if someone needs to get it elsewhere, then get it wherever you want to get it. You know what I mean? It's up to everybody else.
Lightstar, I notice here that your YouTube channel is youtube.com/@lightstarcreations/videos. Okay. You have a lot of 273 uploads. Now all these videos, are they like exactly what you're selling to us that we would want to buy? And
well, I have most of my videos are all activations. So I'm either showing the art and the activations and then doing a light language activation, or I have some channeled messages on there that I've also created, you know, that are channeling. And then, in the midst of my videos, you might, at the end, I always share, you know, what I have to offer and what you can do to purchase anything. But a lot of it is, I mean, you know, you're getting free activation on there. So it's a lot of my time and energy to put these together for people. So I always, you know, say, yeah, it's all there for people to get activated on my YouTube channel. And then, you know, ultimately, if you want to purchase anything, you can go to my website, lightstarcreations.com, and then go to the shop page. on there, because that will actually have all the different categories of everything that I have to offer. My private sessions, the custom art, because I do a bunch of custom art for people. I also have my artwork that you can purchase, the oracle cards, frequency wear clothing,
calendars.
So there's a few different areas that you can choose from on that shop page that you can go. That's the best place to go to find where I have everything to offer. But the YouTube channel has all of my, you know, activations that I've done ever since I started. So I'm starting to do some short clips now. So I've got a lot of the shorts on there as well, which have little nuggets of truth or information in there that I'm bringing in as well. So a lot of good resources on there for a lot of people, and people are getting activated a ton on my channel because I hear it all the time and all the comments, and everyone loves it. So I'm continuing on. And then in the midst of it, I am building another platform at the moment, and it's going to take a while, but I'm putting all of my content over there, and I'll have memberships and I'll have classes and courses. I already have classes on my website, but they're more like individual sessions. And I have a Light Language Foundations audio class that already is on my website. It's all audio. You can get that on my website, but I'm building another platform with more classes, content, video content, and it'll have all of my library of everything that's on my YouTube, but no ads. So it'll be like an ad-free kind of zone. And so I'm building all of that as well.
And you're also on lightstar.com.
It's lightstarcreations.com.
Lightstarcreations.com.
But if you want to go to, if someone does want to find my YouTube channel, all they do is go to YouTube and type in Lightstar, and they should see my little picture with it coming up on for my channel. And it's also on my contact page. So if you go to my website, lightstarcreations.com, go to the contact page and scroll down, all of the places that I'm at are on there. All the video platforms. Like I said, I'm on YouTube, but that also gets posted up at like Rumble, Odyssey, Brighteon, and BitChute. So that's all also there for people that like to watch them on different platforms. So
but on Facebook, you're probably going to have to do another entire profile or page, because I tried to friend request you on there and it's like...
Well, here's the thing with Facebook is I don't use my personal profile, and I have a Facebook page, right?
Right.
But when I use my Facebook page as Lightstar, I mean, that's just a Facebook thing. They limit you from certain things you can't do on a page, but that's how, you know, on my actual page, you know, but that's the one I use for everything. So you can find me over there. If you, you should be able to, send me a message, you know, just through there, if you are on your personal profile, but I don't believe Facebook allows pages to send I can't send a message to you from my Facebook page, or pages to pages can't send messages. It's very weird how they do it.
Well, I'll just email to you my
but you should
profile.
Be able to go on there. I mean, you should be able to go on there and send me a message. It's, you know, pages work a little different than profiles, but I have, you know, people send me messages on my Facebook page. So you should be able to do that unless you're doing it from your own Facebook page, and may not, but if you're doing it.
I'll try doing that through Messenger or what have you. And if it doesn't work out, then I'll give you.
I'm also on Instagram, and Instagram, you can send messages there. So you can try it there if you need to do that. Anyone there, Instagram as well as LinkedIn. And those are the main ones that I use besides YouTube and all of that. So you can reach me anywhere, or my contact page for anybody has a form on there. So they can always send me a message too from there. So
coming back to full circle now to this bundle number one, all seven files of the White Swan 5.5. I'd like to know about, are you using tuning forks for this and your music? How do you make your music?
The music is something that, especially that White Swan 5.5, that one has every single layer in those tracks, in the music that I created in there. And I do play flute in that one. So I play in the flute. all of the every track and every layer is attuned to that specific solfeggio frequency for those. So it's like everything's really attuned to that. And I create it in, it is a digital, but I am like, I play the flute and in there, and I created different types of sounds and tones. And I'm voice toning, it's my voice. All of the music that you're hearing and from all of my music is me and my voice. It's me and my
Amazing.
voice. And so, and I do have the magical, I'm calling it my Lightstar's magical sanctuary, because that's a place on YouTube that that is a place where you can hear some of the single musics that I'm creating for, and the visual animation. So I've created like my images, and then I'm starting to do them animated. And then I have the music that goes along, the one track that goes along with that. And then it's like going for like 3 hours or something each
I
on
tried
YouTube.
your dragon one. It's so
Yeah.
amazing,
Yeah. And people can purchase. I do these, take me a lot of time to do these, so I appreciate it. If people want to buy them, buy the actual shorter version, which is only $11.11. And that gives you the short version that you can download in MP3 format on your phone, or in, get it in that format. So, but yeah, I'm creating this as a magical sanctuary. And then I have some other bundles on there as well, where you can do my Transcension 2222, where it's got vision quests and music. And then I have the 444 music activation. Again, also that one's like a bundle that you can buy together or separately. And then of course the White Swan, and then the individual music activations that I'm creating for my sanctuary. And those will again be all over on the other platform when I build them. And that will be ad-free too, so that people can listen to those if they want.
Again,
And
I didn't understand the pricing on this for the bundle. It's $77.77, but then you have $11. So is that like for one chocolate? How does that?
yeah. So you can buy them singly or individually, just one track, or you can buy the whole thing, which is what you're saying, the seven. So you get like seven MP3 files, or you can just do one, at a time if you want. So that's kind of why I have those in a bundle, and then also separately. Yeah, that's really powerful. All of my art, all of my music is just so, it's just all hand done. I mean, it takes a lot of time. This is like, I put my all into them, and all the energy and frequencies and my tones, my coding, my voice has also got codes in it coming out. So it's all of it.
But when did you find your voice? I found mine in 2012, and I still have some, in my chakra, my Vishuddhi, I think it's called.
Yeah. It's funny. I found that crystal bowls initially helped me to, I didn't, this is not even anything I ever thought I'd be doing, is doing the toning, or singing, toning, making music like this. But the crystal bowls actually really helped in the beginning to activate my voice to something that it wasn't used to doing. So I would play the crystal bowls, and then I would tone along with them. And that actually really helped to get my voice activated, because I wasn't used to using it in that way. And I remember going through that process and of utilizing the tones, and just seeing where it went. And then all of a sudden, it was like not till like years later that I actually just started to create it and record music. I was just doing the toning in private sessions, or for activations like that. And then I started to go, I would like to create some music. And so I started to create it, and I was like, really got into it. I just love creating the music. That's something that's just coming, and I'm just loving how it's turning out. And then to put it with the visual of my art is like, whoa, this is so cool. So I'm excited to see what's going to come from that. I'm trying to, it'll take me a while to go through over 100 images, and I have, doing them one at a time right now with the magical sanctuary.
Are you still doing the chakra clearing for people for the pranic tube?
Oh, I do that in my starseed alignment sessions. Phases two and three are my, well, the phase two is the chakra clearing, the light language chakra clearing. And then phase three would be like the light language chakra upgrade. And the phase one is basically not energy work, but just a giant download of information about someone, like where you're from, your origins, who you are, where you, you know, all of that, your past lives, your soul purpose. And then I go into the clearings in phase two, and then the upgrade from there in phase three. So that's kind of more of a specific one, but I actually create, so that's like the healing process to go through there. I also have my healing shield attunement sessions, which are very much attuned to my shields. I don't have one of them up, but the healing shields that I created, they align with those. So the empath healing shield or the psychic healing shield, and I'm working with people with those. So they're kind of more specific to those shields. And then I have the transitional recalibration session, which is for people going through massive change, which I created that a couple of years back, just recently, but it's been within the last 2 years. That's kind of a new session. And that's really powerful for people going through change. Like there's a lot of people going through this massive shift and change in different areas of their life. So it's helping people with navigating that and going through that.
Have you ever had any issues with being in your own way, and how would you help others that, you know, they just get in their own way?
Yes. Get out of your own way. It's so, I think this happens to everybody as they step into that kind of work, especially, you know, where it's just, you find yourself like wanting to move ahead and then all of a sudden, but you find yourself like sabotaging things or, you know, blocking and not being blocked here. And you're like, I mean, obviously it's going to be different things for different people, but everybody relates to that. Everybody can relate to that feeling of just getting like, oh, but I find through my process, when I went through that myself, these are opportunities to see, like a lot of times it can be like the past life's experiences that we've had that we're repeating. So for example, if someone has, which a lot of people can relate to, is that they've in a past life been, you know, burned at the stake or outcast for writing stuff, right? Or the witch trials or any of those things. Typically, a lot of us that get out to this field start to have those things come up when we're doing them again. So we open up, we start doing it, and then boom, you get this, it's almost like an inner fear that just comes up and freezes you. And that can be a huge, you know, thing to try to hurdle over. But a lot of times if you unravel that, it can go back to those times and you're experiencing it again. And so the way through that is to not let that stop you, to realize you are in a different timeline in a way, you know, here where you're going to be going through this and you're stepping into your power this time instead of like, you know, fearing whatever happened to you in the past. So it's almost like you really can't let that stop you, or it's going to stop you. I mean, it will, unless you say, I'm more powerful than that. And I'm not going to allow this to stop me from moving forward. If I didn't do that, I would not do anything of these things that we're talking about today. Okay. If I did not say to myself, yeah, okay, maybe that's fearful. Maybe I'm getting gripped with fear. Maybe I'm feeling this, and just acknowledge it, but then say, I'm going to do this anyway, because this is who I am, regardless of whatever happened. That's one big thing. I mean, there can be many different things for
like
different
shadow,
people.
Like inner shadow work.
It's acknowledging it, but it's also allowing, not letting it not overtake you. Like you're the one that is in the driver's seat, not whatever you're feeling is just going to pass. Like these things pass, and to allow them to pass and then come back to it every time, you know, you do that, you let it pass, and then you come back and you step forward into it. It's like inch by inch, because sometimes you go through it, you get past a certain point, certain fear, certain blockage, and then you, okay, breathe. It's like peeling an onion, because another one will be there at some level. Sometimes it's what I have, and this is an example of sometimes I find that when you step out into doing work and you want to charge for what you're doing, that block comes up. You charge and then you feel, oh my God, I shouldn't be charging for this. Or, oh my God, I'm charging too much for that. Or, oh my, you start doubting all these things because there's a lot of things in the past that have been back there that said you should be doing all of this for free. So many people have been what? Nuns and monks and, people doing things for free. And there's nothing wrong with that. But there's nothing wrong with charging for your services if you choose to do it for a living either. Right. So people have a lot of stuff in the past that gets into their mindset, or they could be having things from their parents that put that in, like the little seed that you can't do this. So there is a lot of things that come up, but I have found in my experience, different for everybody I know, but there's one thing I have found is that you do not let those things stop you because they will stop you in your tracks if you let them. But you have to almost like, go beyond what that blockage is with the
Could be
challenge.
killed.
Like everything else, right?
Yeah.
It's not easy. Nobody said it was going to be easy. No one ha gave us an instruction manual when he came down here. We kind of have to figure these things out by trial and error a lot of times is and some of it is the age. When you get to a certain age and you've processed enough of those times, now you get it. So it's no different than what I say, the people, the youth. Okay, think about someone who's just started a relationship. They've never had one before. And then that person leaves them and they're like devastated, right? It's like the end of the world. And you don't think you're ever going to make it through it. You don't think you're ever going to have find anyone else, nothing, because that was your first one.
Go back to your
Yeah.
mother.
Like, oh, yeah. So, and then what happens after that experience? You do find somebody else. You do get past it. You do move on. You do. It's like, and then you have it happen again a couple times. It's like, oh, okay, I know I'm not going to die from this. Like, it's not going to. So, I think it's just like everything else. We're in the process of going through it. The more you go through those things, the easier I feel that it gets overall. Because you see that I pulled through that one, or no, I didn't pull through that other one. Okay, so I pulled through this one, and what did I do differently? And then you can start to unravel your own patterns and the things that block you and stop you from moving forward into your true potentiality of who you are. And that's kind of where we're all going.
Is there anything in closing you would like to leave with us?
I just, I know that this is a challenging time on the planet for everyone. Everyone's going through their own individual situations, transitions. I know that it may feel like it's sometimes hard and challenging, and you don't want to get out of bed and do it the next day, in some ways. But my message to everybody is that we came here to make a difference collectively. And it takes every single one of you out there to really do to be who you are, to be the truth of who you are. And that's really, I think, what we're mostly unraveling. So is to be, just to be, okay? Not to have to, be like this like thing up there that you think you are, but to be genuine into yourself, like who you really are, and to really get to know yourself and to accept who you are and to love who you are, because that is the way that we're going to actually help everybody else shine their own light uniquely. And don't try to be like everybody else. Be you, be your unique self. That's what we need right now, is the authenticity and uniqueness and genuineness, and not so much of the people that are just looking at other people and doing what they're doing. So that's my message, is to be you, be unique, be genuine, and don't worry about what everybody else is doing. Stay in your own lane and focus on you and who you are and what you're doing and how you're helping the world and your gifts and how they can be blossom and come out and the ways that you can do that. So I think all of us would be, this whole planet would be uplifted if everybody would just do that, right? So that's kind of my ending message. to everybody. And I so appreciate you having me on here. It's been a pleasure. I know you probably are going to split this into two different places due to sections. It went a little long.
Well, Google Drive, if you can get it all in one Google Drive and it works out, then you'll have it. Otherwise, I'll have to give it to you in two different emails.
No worries. No worries. But I do appreciate it. And it was so lovely to meet you, and to everybody out there, I send you guys all blessings of love on this transition period that we're going through. And yeah, love you guys.
Thank you so very much. It's been an honor and a blessing to have you on here, Light Star.
Thank you so much.